Hello, my fine friends, and welcome back to Destination Discourse. I am really excited. I'm more excited than Adam in this episode. And I am Stuart Butler, and I'm joined today with Adam Stoker. And I'll tell you in a second why I'm excited. Adam, say hello for us, for the audience.
Stuart, today is an incredible day, and I'm really, really excited. And in all seriousness, I'm really excited to have someone on who I really admire and has built something pretty dang incredible, and I hope to someday build something that even holds a candle to that. So it's going to be pretty amazing to have Katie with us today. I'm really excited.
Welcome to the show, Katie Briscoe, CEO of MMGY Global. This is thrilled to have you on the show. We're super excited.
It is my privilege. I am a big fan, and like I said, the opportunity to call this work, to be able to chat with the two of you, it doesn't feel like work. It's awfully fun. We're
going to have a lot of fun today. It's going to be great. Let me set the table for the audience, because I don't think people know the context. I've been asking Katie to come on the show, and you know, we've been talking about what topics, and she sent me maybe my favorite topic I've ever seen anyone suggest. And it was basically saying why Adam's wrong about his own media stuff. It was like, you know, the own stuff's cute, but paid media pays the bills. And Adam is completely wrong about owned media. And I love this. And I was going to set it up too and talk about the fact that you guys are both my agencies. You know, at Visit Myrtle Beach, we use a number of different agencies for different things. And MMGY Global is our agency of record for a lot of that stuff. They do our paid media, our social media, our creative stuff and our brand. And then the Relic, or the what's your new name? The
Brand Revolt.
Revolt. See, you haven't branded me enough yet.
Hey, long as it's right on the check.
That's true. The Brand Revolt team does a lot of our own media stuff, right? So they've helped us with our podcasts and our TV shows and the promotion of those. And so this is great. I was going to start the show by saying I'm really excited because I've got the CEO of my favorite agency on the show, and then you guys get to fight about which one of that is, right? So
this is going to be pretty self-indulgent for Stuart, I can tell.
This is amazing. I'm going to make you both squirm. Like, I'm going to sometimes side with Katie, sometimes side with Adam, and it's going to be amazing. But I think it's fair, like anyone that's listened to the show knows Adam's strong opinions on owned media and branded entertainment. And so we've talked for a while about, we want that count of you, right? Paid media does still pay the bills, right? It's full disclosure, it's still 80% of our budget, you know, is paid media. 10% is owned, 10% is earned, roughly speaking. So we're still very much heavily invested in paid media. But I think today we're going to talk about the pros, the cons of both. We're going to talk about what the future holds, what the present is. And oh, it's going to be exciting. It's Friday afternoon. Usually by this time, I'm ready to clock off on a Friday afternoon. But today, I can tell you, I'm jazzed. This is going to be a good episode. So hopefully the audience is excited. And speaking of excited, I think every audience member, or one of them, Adam's mom, gets excited for this segment, which is the greatest segment in all of entertainment. It is Stu's News. Are we doing the jingle? You're meant to have it.
What do you mean? What do you mean, Stuart?
Yeah. All right, let's go.
Do you think I would forget this?
I don't know.
Where's the dance?
All right, we need to dance. I'm not doing the countdown.
Are you scared to dance in front of Katie here? I don't like that.
Yeah, look. There we go. I'll do the nuts. But Katie, you're the first guest since we've debuted this jingle. I mean, just give me your off the cuff, honest, raw reaction to that nonsense.
Well, I was going to ask if I'm allowed to vote live, you know, yeah. But I do have the team upstairs, many that work on your business. And we are having a dance party as soon as we wrap this recording to that song.
Nice.
You know.
Yeah.
I'll take that as a full-throated endorsement.
I do,
Stuart.
Think it's ownable. I have to say, I think it's ownable and a bit on brand. Quirky, fun, unexpected.
Quirky, fun, and unexpected. That is on brand for me. That is awesome. So today's Stu's News, regardless of the jingle, is actually brought to us by you today, Katie. So I'm going to ask you to talk a little bit about it. But you've just released MMGY Global, the annual report, the Global Compass, which is really an invaluable piece of information for the whole industry, where people can learn about the trends coming up and all kinds of things about the travel industry. And so we're going to link to that report in our show notes. I know you push it out on the MMGY global socials and you send it to your clients. So we get a copy and I look forward to every year. But do you want to talk a little bit about what this is as a report and what people can expect in the 2025 version?
Yeah, and I would love like an exclusive on Stu's News every time we release the Global Compass, if that is possible. But yeah, released it earlier this week. It's a piece that we do, a thought leadership piece on the global travel industry, released in late January, early Feb, that really is about forward-looking sort of actionable trends that we feel like are incredibly insightful in driving the industry forward. So kind of focusing on some of those consumer behaviors that continue to augment how we think about our marketing efforts. You know, there's a section certainly like, do we even need websites? I won't spoil it. Hopefully that will be a teaser to get in. And then how we're rethinking some pretty traditional segments, including luxury, that really create opportunities that I don't think everyone is considered historically, if that wasn't your target. So again, go check it out. And again, we love feedback on it. Hopefully we'll have a chance to debate on it at some point in the future.
Yeah, Katie, I'd love to ask. Oh, sorry, Stuart, you might have asked a question to Katie real quick.
Go right ahead.
I know I butted in here, but I think for a lot of people listening, you see a report like that and you're like, oh man, this is really insightful. And you don't really know what actually happened behind the scenes to make something like this come to life. This isn't you guys put it together in a couple of days here. Tell us what went into putting together a report of this kind of size and scope for the entire industry.
Yeah, that is a fantastic question. And I've never been asked that as we put this out. The reality I've...
That's why Stuart pays me the big bucks, so you know. Yeah.
In our organization... We are so fortunate to have thought leadership in every single pocket of the business and such unique specialties in every aspect of global travel, tourism, and hospitality as we're exclusively servicing the sector. So the last page of this Global Compass this year is actually my favorite, where it talks about the contributors across the company, and it's various professional levels, different business units inside the company representing different marketing channels, some specializing in hospitality, some specializing more on the tourism side. And then also, you know, we do work across the sector or across the travel sector. So, you know, we have transport, we work for Amtrak. It's just a really well-rounded perspective. And I think trying to put forth a global perspective is super challenging. And so we started working on this 4 months ago, you know, and it becomes more ideation, everybody kind of throwing, you know, it's the spaghetti against the wall sort of mentality of what are we thinking, you know, what did we think would happen this year that didn't, where do we think it's going based on, you know, geopolitical dynamics, based on, you know, consumer behaviors and trends that we're starting to see pop. And then ultimately, how can we put together a piece that's fun to read? So I do want to say that it's so important. I read all of these things that come out from partners across the industry, as I know that both of you do. And it really is about actionable insights, but it has to be fun to read, you know, because you always want a piece. When we go through the first draft, it's when I beat everybody up and say, I've heard this before, I've heard this before, I've heard this before, I've heard this before. Like, what is net new? I'd rather share three things than 10 things if, you know, seven of those things are things that we've heard at the last three industry conferences. So it is about pushing and then really creating some content that's fun to consume, but also gets people thinking about things a little bit differently in their integrated marketing programs.
That's awesome. Great. And I'm going to point out the irony of the fact that you want to argue for paid media. And now we're talking about a really important owned media piece that you guys do, right? Because
we've got some paid to promote it.
Right. But I'm teasing, right? Of course. But I think it shows the importance of both sides of this spectrum of media. And obviously there's a third leg to that store with earned media. And you could argue a fourth with social too, but let's dig in. I mean, obviously you have a strong opinion on paid media. It's we entrust you with our paid media business. Obviously MMGY, one of the leaders in the world in paid media, but where do you want to start with this, Katie? I'm gonna leave this up to you in terms of if you want to make the case for paid media or you make the case against owned media first, and then we'll start a little joust with you and Adam.
So I did some homework before coming on. Deeply respect the both of you, and utilizing, you know, my good friend Google Notebook. You know, I actually got all of the YouTube links for every episode you've ever done, and I asked my AI friend, can you give me every single quote from Adam Stoker in which he has negatively spoken about paid media?
Oh, that's amazing.
Oh man.
I will point out that we don't usually allow our guests to do research before they come on the show. That's way too prepared. Like, we never do that. So you have us at a disadvantage, well, but I love what you did.
You know me better than that. So I really had to cool this down because believe me that
there's a lot.
The volume that came back was just overwhelming. But I did pull my top three favorite quotes, if I could share those.
Yes, of course. Please.
Okay. I love this.
So we'll start with number one. And I am, of course, improvising a bit, and I'll share these, Adam, to your comfort level.
Are you going to do an impression of Adam when you read them? Or are you just,
yeah, where's your hat?
I don't know that I could do that justice. I should have brought my, I can't pull off a flat.
I'll send you a Brand Revolt hat, Katie.
Okay. I'll wear it next time I come on. DMOs build these annual plans, and with that usually ends up is creative headline, a beautiful picture, a call to action to book your trip today. What's happening there is we're entirely missing consumer behavior. Number two, being entirely dependent on paid media when the cost is going up and up and up, but the cost to acquire a customer is going up and up and up. At some point, it's fiscally irresponsible.
Oh, and wow.
These sound good.
And last but not least, DMOs must revolt. I know what you did there. Against the sea of sameness and focus on building long-term sustainable communities through content instead of just this endless paid media-centric strategy that I believe is plaguing the industry today.
Wow. She's using your own words against you. This is strong, man.
If you want to hear if you want the others, because I started with a top 10 list and I'm like, I think that's overwrought. You know, again, if I had to, and then I asked my AI friend, can you just, you know, just summarize Adam Stoker's perspective on paid media, you know, just synthesize it for me. And it said, Adam Stoker is consistently critical about an over-reliance on paid media. He considers it a flawed and unsustainable approach and that DMOs are being misled by results and that the measurement of these activities is lackluster. So DMOs aren't making truly informed decisions. Fair?
Man, will you send me that? I want to start using that notebook because I got to tell you, I love what I've heard so far.
It's surprisingly accurate because I also asked, can you summarize Stuart Butler across the suite of episodes, his biggest pain points? And I actually already delivered that to his account team because I
That's too
smart.
Good.
That's really smart. Oh, man.
But either way, fair enough. That is the perspective.
Absolutely. Yeah. And in fact, I'm going to do the same exercise because I really like the ones that it pulled. And I honestly, Katie, I feel like it's a really good representation of also not overselling that I hate paid media and that it's worthless and all that. I think it's a pretty good characterization of why I dislike the way we're using paid media.
Right. So because of that, and you know, I don't want to get to the tail end of this where we talk about what we agree on. I'd rather stay in this friction for a hot second.
Love it.
Because the reality is that paid media is completely ineffective without high quality content. So there is, I think, a starter. We'll get to, I think, the bridge at the end. But
yeah,
the high quality content is incredibly important to make sure that these efforts are effective. But I had a few questions because part of me is like, what in the hell is this guy looking at in terms of DMO paid media programs? Like whose programs are these? Cause I certainly hope they're not programs that we're running because I don't know a DMO that is entirely reliant on paid media to tell the story to, you know, push the success to. So I don't know. And my question to you is, do you know a destination that's fully reliant on just paid media activity?
Yeah, I think it's a really good question. And I want to give you a little bit of background that might help you see where this opinion came from. And that's that we came up in the destination marketing industry, starting with really small destinations. So, and I'm not sure where Visit Myrtle Beach falls as far as client size for MMGY, But for us, our first client had, I think, $170,000 a year annual marketing budget, right? And over time, that's increased and everything. And we worked with that client for 8 years. And when we came in, it was all paid media. And to be entirely fair, for many years, we continued with a very paid media-centric strategy. And so I think we've come at the market, you and I and our organizations, from different sides of the market. I think the smaller the DMO and the less sophisticated from a marketing perspective, the DMO, the more the reliance on paid media. And I see a lot of small DMOs. And there's two examples that I'll give you that just, I want to shoot myself. And again, that was rude to say. I shouldn't say it that way. But like, I've been guilty of this in the past. But the two that I've seen is dining, hiking, fun for the whole family. You know, we've all seen that campaign, and then paid media as kind of the core distribution method for that campaign. And then the other one is discover the real, and then put insert destination name here. And I can tell you there, and man, I need to look it up. I'll see if I can find it real quick. But off of the top of my head, there's several destinations that have the real X and then paid media distribution around that. And there's a major destination, and I'm actually going to use my little chat bot that I've created here and try to find it during this conversation, because it's a major destination that's using the real this. And it's just kind of the same thing over just, you know, insert budget and destination name here, and you've got the same exact plan with a couple of different words and images and maybe a couple of media tactics.
Is the problem really the paid media, or is it low quality creative?
So you're bringing up a really, really important and valuable question here. And it's the reason that I try to get everybody to swing towards creating really valuable content at the center, because what it really is a strategy problem. Right. And that's the thing that is the low hanging fruit. However, when you say strategy, especially to people who haven't spent 20 years developing marketing strategies, it's really difficult to tangibly say what that strategy is. But if you talk about an over-reliance on paid media, where really what you're doing with your budget is saying, okay, what's our you know, catchy headline, pretty picture, as per the quote you shared with me earlier, and then let's just distribute it through a whole bunch of different paid media tactics. I see that so much, and especially in the, I would say, lower to mid-tier destination size, it's a very, very common strategy, or lack thereof.
Well, and I definitely see those perspectives. I have a follow-up question for you. And I'm talking at Stuart. You said in a recent podcast, you were talking about comfortability. And I think you said you like your team at 40-60, you're spicy, you like you.
64,
and,
yeah.
And I was in my car laughing, thinking, oh, I don't know this guy, because we're 90-10 on the discomfort. By the way, is a beautiful place to be in a partnership like ours is just that consistent challenge of how do we continue to differentiate? Because I'm with you, Adam, like, you know, I'm for paid when it is strategic and well executed. If not, it is watching money burn.
Yeah.
You know? So I think at that point we can agree. I'm curious. When I think about the performance indicators that we're responsible for, and we'll get to measurement, because I've really been fascinated about the perspective on measurement. What we're responsible for, and often, you know, with taxpayer dollars that we're spending in paid media, wildly accustomed to accounting for every single cent, you know, it's religion to report, because these funds have parameters, and you know, obviously understanding that and executing well is vital to maintaining those budgets for our partners. But I really tried to contemplate, if we pulled paid media out of our strategy, out of our integrated strategies, could we achieve the KPIs of which we are hired to achieve? And I looked at clients, because you asked the question, and our bread and butter are small to mid-sized clients. That's how our business was built. So, you know, we just rolled out a media plan for $50,000. And then we have a few clients that are upwards 25, 30 million. So, you know, the range of what we plan media for on an annual basis varies significantly. But even with that $50,000 annual media plan for a smaller size destination, of which, by the way, is as much work in many ways as the bigger budgets.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Is like, I don't know how we could achieve the KPIs without that paid influence.
So let me ask you this,
Katie. Not guaranteed, right? I think that's the thing, right? There are opportunities that you can try with an owned media and earned media strategy for that budget that have the potential to outstrip the performance, but there's a lot of risk in that. In I think we're in an industry where risk aversion is one of our key drivers. And so, you know, we've certainly done some campaigns. You guys did one for us that wasn't really, it sort of was a paid, but the organic reach with our Matari Best campaign on Reddit, right? Did we pay some money to get that triggered? Yeah, but most of the growth was organic growth. And so, yeah, we didn't spend a lot of money on it and it did phenomenally well. But then we tried to follow up to that a year later and it didn't do as well, right? So I think there's a lot more risk in these owned media, earned media tactics that we can't afford as DMOs, because it just takes one bad campaign or one bad performing year and we're defunded, or, you know, this changes.
Let me ask a question though, because one of the things that you're asking about, which I really appreciate, is the KPIs that you're supposed to hit. What KPIs are you using to decide if your media spend was effective?
Yeah, so I would bucket those into three categories. You have your vanity KPIs, Stuart. I know what you know. We're talking about, you know, impressions, clicks, you know, site engagement. I mean, those things that we will always report on because they're just table stakes and sort of what we're buying. You have the more proactive measurement activities, which are getting highly sophisticated and super interesting. And Stuart, if I may, what we're doing with Adelaide and connecting that into Arrivalist to do more predictive, you know, understanding these, how these ads perform, you know, rating them and then marrying that up with visitation and then holding, you know, future ads to better standards to understand how they have a direct implication on, you know, people in destination spending. You know, it's those proactive measures. And then there are, you know, these macroeconomic indicators. So I know Amir was, you know, on the, and Amir, great friend of the agency. And my favorite thing to do is for Amir to get up on stage and talk about how effective our advertising programs are. It's my favorite. And I tell him, but I was just at the Michigan Governor's Conference. And of course we do work for Pure Michigan. And our entire metric around there is economic development. You know, it is about who has come into the destination and who has spent. And it's, do we still, you know, report on a myriad of metrics, but it kind of comes down to one thing. And how did that work against the volume that was spent? And ultimately we don't test ourselves because, you know, it's a little fox guard in the hen house. I broadly, you know, you'll find this about me. I think, Stuart, I've told you about this before. I've been called Pollyanna before. I absolutely believe you take care of the needs of your client, the needs of the agency take care of themselves, you know, in terms of the business growth. And, you know, I want people checking our work. I want outside measurement activity happening. And so, you know, when Amir's up and he's talking about, you know, brand awareness and lift and how he's measured that. I mean, that we take that. We work with Smari, we work with H2. I mean, we work with a variety of partners outside of Longwoods, but we expect our work to be checked. And ultimately what we're doing, what we're asking for is marketing dollars to promote a destination. And then the expectation is that we're driving visitation. And I mean, Stuart, with you, what we've long been after is obviously attracting, you know, the right target guests, having them stay longer, spend more, and really converting Myrtle into a four season destination, a year round destination that you know, we invite folks to. So it's, you know, those strategic imperatives and then ultimately how they're measured really vary across client. And it is absolutely our job to step into that, intimately understand those business imperatives, and then ultimately react with the marketing activity that's going to drive us there.
Yeah, I think that's interesting, and I like that you layer on the three different levels of KPIs, right? The vanity metrics, which of course you need to know what they are, but it's more directional than anything else. The secondary KPIs that you mentioned with, and I believe you mentioned Adelaide as one of the tools that you're using and integrating with Arrivalist, how do you identify which of the media tactics that you're running are the most effective, or is what you're doing taking kind of the collection of the, or the aggregate of the media that you're purchasing and saying, okay, there's this much lift compared to, I don't know, national tourism increase or decrease, or how are you deciding which KPIs actually demonstrate that your media buy specifically was effective?
Well, and I think that depends on client. That's not a cop-out. I think it depends on how it's been measured traditionally. And we have pushed, like, you know, I've heard you guys talk about, like, you know, pushing to more advanced measurement around these activities. And we are 100% aligned on that.
Yeah. Like,
as some of these marketing activities become far more sophisticated, they're so multifaceted in terms of reach. It's not, you know, I mean, gosh, even talking about like last click attribution and things like that, that we talked about years and years ago. I mean, those days are over, you know. It is about the ultimate broad impact of a fully integrated campaign that is strategically targeted to market opportunities. And I just want to be clear about this. If I could leave anything, one of the things that drives me crazy about agencies, and we all know our own warts, you know, imperfect human driven businesses.
Yeah.
But is we are about incrementality. I'm not taking on a new client and taking credit for work that's already done, visitors that were already coming, visitors that were already aware of the destination. Like, that's not interesting to me. What's interesting is this opportunity to drive incrementality and then measure it. And that comes across as of course, increases and of course, who's staying, who's spending, what markets they're coming from, if we've explored, expanded, you know, markets to drive visitors in. So I don't know that directly answered your question, but what I will say is that it varies by client and how we measure it, how mm-hmm. we're testing. So depending on the nature of the media inside the plan, and we run integrated plans with both traditional and digital, how we're optimizing that is obviously based on how flexible the channel is. But I will say, and Stuart, I know you're aware of this product we're rolling out, Advisor, which is really starting to use AI-driven creative testing to better understand components of our ads. You know, it's like anything, that the opportunities are endless to sort of create these digital ads that, and some things are effective, some things aren't. And instead of this like heavy A-B, you know, it's A-B testing, it's expensive, and it's not that, in hindsight, as sophisticated as what we could be doing on an ongoing basis. This Advisor allows us to see in real time, our strategists can see how ads are performing, and they can inform our creative team, like, here's where we need to pivot. And that to me creates a world of creative flexibility that we just have not had access to before. And such an efficient way. And so you have those, you know, micro optimizations that are happening throughout campaigns to allow us to see what's working and continue to optimize to really overachieve on the results that we've promised to a client.
Yeah. Awesome. So I love that answer, Katie, because I think one of the challenges in our industry is, I'm going to tap into my physics background here, but in physics, everyone's trying to grasp a unified field theory. Like, they're trying to bring the quantum level and the macro level all into one formula and have one answer that solves, definitively answers everything. And and this is where string theory and the many worlds theory and all others come into play in physics. And I think we have that problem in our world, where we're trying to say there's one answer, one measurement that tells us everything we need to know about how we're performing. And I don't look at the world that way, because I think, while I'm certainly one of the biggest critics of vanity metrics, I understand their importance for optimizing specific pieces of the journey, right? And so something like Advisor, which, by the way, love the pun in the name, I think that's amazing. It's very cheesy, and I love cheesy. So the fact that we're doing that is going to help inform us about certain things that work to drive more clicks and more engagement, and some of those vanity things that aren't, we're not putting in the bank, right? It's not necessarily driving economic performance. But we believe that by doing that, then we have a better chance at doing the next piece of the journey, the conversion or whatever. So I think what we talked about on the episode with Zeke Coleman about causation versus correlation is, you've got to use a lot of different models, right? A lot of attribution models, a lot of just different approaches to measurement. Because if you try to do it in one way, you're never going to get a true answer. It's going to have a bias or a blind spot that you're not necessarily aware of. So I'm a big proponent of saying, okay, what are we actually optimizing for here? Or what is our goal here for this specific piece? Let's optimize for that. And then at the end of the day, though, every DMO success is going to be measured on the macro level stuff that you talked about. And I don't know that it's possible to tie every success at the macro level all the way back to this specific campaign. It isn't possible, right? So it's a sum of the parts. And we haven't, as an industry or as society, determined a way to measure each of the little bits of contribution that the multiple campaigns that are layered with the different frequencies and the different channels and the different messaging contribute to decisions that a consumer's making. So I think, I'm rambling a bit, but what I'm saying is we're trying to look for a silver bullet that doesn't exist. So I think having the sophistication to look at it from multiple dimensions with multiple filters is the best approach. And I think that's one of the things that MMGY does a really good job of for us.
Adam, go ahead.
Go ahead, Katie. I think both of you actually make a really important case. And it's funny because I think, Katie, you and I agree a whole lot more than it may even sound like on this episode, right? But the thing that's, I want to talk a little bit about worst case scenario, right? Because if we do just focus on, okay, in aggregate, did we achieve lift in visitation, right? I think that's really good. But if we look at an example, and Katie, do you listen to the All In podcast by chance?
No.
Okay, you would love it. I already know just in the times that we've had the opportunity to chat, I think you would love it. But the All In podcast is a show that I listen to every week. It's these four Silicon Valley billionaires. I think one of them might not be a billionaire yet, but close enough. And they basically look at current events, weekly market conditions. And sometimes it's, hey, here's how I would run my business based on what I'm seeing market conditions wise. Sometimes they talk politics and yada, yada, yada. But what happened during COVID in Q4 of 2022, they said that Salesforce had to completely change their digital marketing strategy because the cost to acquire a customer had gone up so far. It went up by 75%, I think, just in Q4. And it caused them to have to completely revamp their entire marketing strategy. And I think that's one of the most sophisticated companies from a marketing perspective in the world that happened to. And the thing that scares me about the destination marketing industry is that we don't have, or I would say we do have the luxury of not knowing exactly what our cost to acquire a customer is. And so if it goes up by 75%, like it did for Salesforce, and I would argue that with the level of sophistication that Salesforce is able to achieve, I'm worried it might be more than 75% that it's gone up. It would take too long for the destinations to understand that that had happened before it could result in financial crisis for the destination. I think that's one of my biggest fears in relying so much on paid media in the destination marketing space, is that we're not going to truly get an answer to some of these questions until it's really late in the game, whereas some of the most sophisticated companies in the world are pivoting really quickly based on the immediacy of the data they can achieve.
I think that's an interesting question and or really observation. I would say twofold. If you are in-house buying your own media, planning on buying your own media at a smaller destination and don't have a sense for when the inflation of some of this inventory is going to happen, I will use right this second right now. Inventory on Meta is wild because they were anticipating they were going to take on all TikTok's ad inventory. So there are always things that happen because it's supply and demand. It's no different than, you know, media inventory is no different than anything else around supply and demand. And so I would say the cost standpoint, we can plan a wildly effective media plan for $50,000. I'll tell you, it is as hard, you know, because we always talk to our clients, we spend your money like your own. If not, we're not going to tell you to put it in media if we don't think it can work. And probably spoiler alert, I've in many cases said to a client when they've shared a strategy, I don't think paid media is the answer. I think you need to, you know, be head down on PR tactics for a moment, or hey, your assets aren't, you know, high quality enough to support a really robust media plan. Let's think about, you know, putting money back into developing higher quality assets to put into the marketplace. We just can't compete. Like, so to the point, like if you're not ready to be in a pretty robust paid media plan, we're not going to advise you to be there. The other thing is we know what we're doing. So we're not wasting money around, you know, political, you know, times where elections are going on and media is a premium. When there's major events like a Black Friday or something, major sports events, we're typically not playing around there because it's a premium and there's too much noise for us to break through anyway. So we're evaluating those things. And then we're looking like we're not overindulging in Meta right now. We're waiting and wait. I wouldn't tell you we don't have any ads running in the space, but certainly not overpaying for no reason because of this inflationary moment, because it will normalize based on, you know, how things are shaking out. So what I would say is that a seasoned planner and a buyer sort of understands some of these implications and can see it and pivot in real time. And I broadly don't think there's been modest upticks in the cost of media. Certainly the sophistication of media, it's really the tech tools tied with measuring it that have gotten really expensive, less the media inventory. And then of course, you know, we're doing really robust new things, but I would tell you like what we can do now related to integrated packages and these, you know, advertisements that don't feel like advertisements, meeting an audience that truly is connected already to our brand or our message. Do we pay a premium for that? Of course, but we should, and it's more effective than what we were doing, you know, 10 years ago. So the price is going up and up and up. I buy that a little bit for some product, but I would tell you we can still really efficiently execute a pretty modest paid media program and still drive meaningful business outcomes for client partners. So it sort of depends on kind of the way you look at it.
Yeah. Well, and I think to your point, strategy is so critical in that. Sorry, Stuart, but I think you're 100% correct, Katie, that it has so much more to do with the content and strategy at the center of the campaign than it does with which specific media channel are you buying and things like that.
Well,
I think you're both sort of right, right? I'm sitting in the middle of this a little bit because I do feel like there is an inflationary pressure on media, and we've seen, you know, let's call it the commodity media buys, the generic media buys, thinking things like Google CPC, right, and Google Ads. We certainly see a continued upwards trend in the cost for that. At the same time, by the way, that maybe the fragmentation of media is making it even harder to reach the same volume of people on each individual channel, right? Which adds complexity to the campaign because now, okay, I can't just put. There was a day when a hotel just needed to run Google Ads and they were going to do fine, right? And now a hotel cannot do that. They've got to diversify across like a half a dozen or a dozen social platforms and all this other stuff. So I think cost is driving up, not necessarily just because of the media buy, but like you said, the ad tech, the management fee. Like that, for me, I felt over the 4 years I've been here, costs have gone up. But I think MMGY, to be fair, has done a really good job of mitigating that by being more scrappy and more dynamic in how we buy and where we buy. And we've leaned into premium placement, right, instead of the commodity placement. And I think this is where we're really, you know, we're two sides of the same coin when we're talking about paid media and owned media, because every good paid campaign has to have great content. And that great content is increasingly morphing away from a quote-unquote traditional ad into more of an advertorial or an experience or an integrated thing that the consumer can really get more emotion from, get more knowledge from and information from. And so we've done a lot more buys with you guys, Katie, over the last few years with like print pieces that also have like a very digital component. But instead of just running a pretty print ad, it's now an advertorial that talks about a destination in a real natural feeling way. And so, yeah, we might be paying a little more on a CPM level, but when we start to measure, did we connect with the audience? Did we impact how they feel, they think, and they behave? Absolutely. And so our cost per acquisition is not actually going up, even though our maybe cost per impression is going up, right? Mm-hmm. So I can see sort of both sides of it. But well, I think
the proof is, like, eMarketer, I mean, in 2025, ad spend globally is going to be $1 trillion. It's going to break a mm-hmm. record. You guys have probably read what I've read, that a Super Bowl spot, and by this time, the Kansas City Chiefs will obviously have won the Super Bowl. reality is that, you know, their spot just went for $8 million, like record breaking. So like inflationary conditions, supply, demand, like, these things are obviously going to be impacted. I think getting back to what you said, Adam, it's strategy around the environment that we're in, and how do we maximize the investment? We don't do a lot of ego vanity buys, you know, unless it's something maybe meaningful to a particular client strategy or audience, but we're talking about efficiency and then really marrying that up with creativity to break free from sort of the sea of sameness, as you say frequently in the marketplace, to really connect with, you know, with consumers.
I think it's important also for both of us to note that we're fortunate to have a client like Myrtle Beach that values strategy and creative and is willing to pay for good strategy and creative. And one of the reasons that I think we see so much of the sea of sameness, as I call it, is because strategy somehow, in all of this chase for vanity metrics, has become devalued. Content has become devalued. And what you end up with is a really good media buy in a lot of cases with a really poor strategy or creative behind it. And I think that's also one of the issues that I think for destinations that are listening, and of course this is self-serving, I own an agency, it's not a secret here that this would be beneficial to me. But if you're not paying for good strategy and good creative and you're expecting a media buy to be super effective, I just don't think there's much of a path for that to be a successful campaign.
We're not going
to. There's a reason MMGY have our media and our creative business together, right? That to separate the two, decouple the two wouldn't be optimal. And so I think you cannot have. So I think, you know, we're sort of rounding out the corner here on this conversation, running out of time a little bit. But I think what I would say, Adam, I'm hearing, you know, Katie point out from your criticism of paid media is you're not really down on paid media as a concept. You're more down on the current state of execution by some folks in the industry. Is that, would that be fair?
100%. And I would say more folks than it seems like.
Yeah. Potentially, certainly not MMGY or Brand Revolt clients, but potentially
there can
others.
Only be so many clients that the two of our agencies can handle. All the rest of them, no, just kidding. Everybody else is great too.
Yeah,
but I do feel like there's a big lack of strategy and creative behind a lot of the media buys that I see. And you can flip through an outdoor magazine or something like that and look at the DMO ads that are in there. And in a lot of cases, you'll see exactly what I'm talking about, the pretty picture, the catchy headline, and the call to action that says book your stay today. Mm-hmm.
Well,
and we can do better, right? We can do better tomorrow than we did today, all of us. And so I think that's what this show's about.
Yeah, there's definitely, I think, you know, poor execution across every channel of marketing, certainly not just paid. I think, you know, if it's not driven by sound strategy, you know, it's you know, failure to plan to fail, you know, that's the mantra, and that's absolutely right. But I think broadly, we live in a paid world. We live in a paid to play mm-hmm. world, and content, as amazing as it can be, can't be created in a vacuum. It has to be connected mm-hmm. with an audience. Even traveling the spectrum, of course, which I've watched and cried, and beautiful, beautiful execution on that. And so tied to, you know, the brand and the values that Myrtle Beach has been a part of for years, and the initiatives to welcome, you know, neurodiverse families into the destination. But what I would tell you is that it's on Peacock, and Peacock mm-hmm. spent $131 million in 23 to get eyeballs on their content. So mm-hmm. It's we can talk about owned content But the reality is that it is surrounded by paid. It is just the world we live in. It's why we boost social posts, because it's not, even though we have engaged followers on these channels, it's like, it still needs that extra push to have the reach that we need to really create a meaningful impact. So I just, paid is not, you know, just banner ads and paid search, which by the way, are still highly effective and included. And when there's trouble in paradise in our client destinations, I've never had anybody call me and tell me to turn off media and turn to own content development, because they've got to get heads in beds because their hoteliers are calling them and putting pressure. So,
or maybe it's because they haven't listened to my show, Katie. You know,
we'll give them a chance. I think it hasn't happened to me yet, but I never say never about anything. I've certainly made that mistake before, but the paid activity can drive immediate results. And so when push comes to shove and things are tough, I think, you know, these tactics that we've relied on to drive sort of bottom of, you know, of funnel activities. And I know you hate the funnel, Stuart. But really these, you know, commerce driving activities, you know, there are tactics that work, but the reality is that media is not a binary thing. It's everywhere. It's not a billboard. It's not I don't mean to be profound, but it is, it is literally the world that we live in is surrounded by media, but we do agree that the quality of the content, the ability to tell a story authentically that connects with a consumer is paramount. If you cannot do that, it doesn't matter if you buy this $8 million, you know, buy in the Super Bowl, if the content is not good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I would say
a lot of people waste that investment, right? When the conversation happens the next day, you know, there's folks that really get a good return on that $8 million. And there's folks.
And then there's the ones that you're like, why in the world did you spend the $8 million? Right. And kind of exacerbates what we're talking about.
I went over and asked Carrie to make sure it wasn't you, Stuart, before. I'm just kidding. Like, we know, we never.
As long as we're not trading long-term benefit for short-term results, like if we're spending too much on paid media because we're trying to get that short-term result so we can go show our board, but we're actually sacrificing the long-term engagement and relationship we can have with our clients, I totally agree with you.
And I think, with all due respect, it's altruistic. I think at some point it does. I mean, you think about how hoteliers are looking at performance, who are the key stakeholders, the most powerful stakeholders in some of our destinations. And depending on the nature of performance that month, I think we have to pivot to drive results. Ideally, that's not taking away from long-term planning. And I can see your point, Adam, that in some, depending on the size of the budget and the nature, it could compromise, you know, longer-term strategic thinking. But the reality is I heard you guys talking about, you know, destinations that aren't allowed to use AI. By the way, that is a very real fact, and it's not just one or two. I mean, but the reality of it is that we have to support these destinations and the environments and parameters in which they exist, commit to driving value to their stakeholders, to improving their communities. And the way in which we do that is vastly different. There's still innovation to be found, you know, an opportunity to be found, but it really for one industry, when people always say you're in travel and tourism, like, what does that even mean? The same things you guys get it is so wildly diverse, even in the US market. So wildly diverse, the nature of what we're asked to do on behalf of these organizations to drive business outcomes. And that's what makes it fun. I think it's particularly exciting, like you said, Adam, to work for somebody like Stuart and visit Myrtle Beach, because the destination is wildly successful in delivering on its promise and destination. So you have, you know, repeat visitors, such a loyal following to this destination. In addition, you can easily expose folks to this destination who immediately have intent to come. So it's a great product to sell, which is an awesome position to be in. But then you also have the opportunity to have such fun with a brand that feels so different, you know, inside, you know, broader tourism marketing. And that's like this, I'm not saying this to say it, because I'm not lucky enough to work on the business day to day. but it's the sweet spot that you want to be in, where you have that
of
absolutely delivering on the tried and true marketing activity, but then still having the space to experiment and have a tremendous amount of fun with a brand that really embodies the, you know, so the opportunity to do things differently.
I love it. The conversation continues beyond this episode, I'm sure.
Katie, this has been amazing. I really like how you doubled down on going after Adam, even though I've said half of the things that he said too on this show, but you pulled your punches. You're probably wise that I'm one of your clients, but we'd love to have you back on the show at any point in the future. I know you've got lots of opinion. I always learn stuff when I talk to you, and I always really respect your opinion on the state of the industry. So you're welcome. Open invitation anytime you want to come back, and you can pick on me a little more next time. It's totally fair.
Please do.
It's
much more fun for me when Stuart gets picked on.
Well, I have to say, respect you both a great deal. And Adam, we're partners on this. We work, it's very rare that we don't work with partner agencies that are exceptional at things that we are not. You know, I think we're good at a lot of things, but there are still specialty areas that the agencies like, you know, Brand Revolt are doing extraordinary things. And in those cases, we love to partner. And I just think the world of you both, and I'm extremely flattered to have been asked to be part of this. So
of course, you're welcome.
Same to you.
Anytime. I think we'll call this one a dead heat. I think Katie made some great points. Adam didn't make as many
good points,
but I have to do more episodes with him, so I'm gonna not hurt his feelings too much. But I think hopefully you got everyone listening thinking a little bit, because we do propagandize the owned media a lot on this show, and part of that is a shtick, right? We like to be a little controversial. We're trying to be provocative and have discourse in the industry. So we're always going to lean against the status quo a little bit, I think by nature of the DNA of this show. But it's good to have folks like yourself come in and make that counter argument and keep us straight too, because this industry is stronger the more we listen to opposing views. It's stronger the more we listen to new ideas, but don't forget what's tried and true and has worked for years in the past. So this has been really, really one of my favorite episodes. I've enjoyed listening to this far, and hopefully our audience got the value out of it.
You know, paid, owned, and earned is where it's at. Like, paid, owned, mm-hmm. and earned is where it's at. So I think, mm-hmm. obviously, listening to my friend consistently talk about how paid media is dying, I had to come on and pick a fight. You can't shy away from that. But paid, owned, and earned is where it's at in terms of driving success. And we all know that. That's the ultimate.
Awesome.
Absolutely. Guys. Katie, well, I want to be clear, same to you, Katie. Really value what you guys do for the industry. Really value our friendship and relationship, and honor that you'd come on and have this conversation and be willing to give me a hard time a little bit. I really enjoyed it.
You know, and difference is where I always worry when people don't, when people want to pick a fight and debate with you, that means they respect and like, yes, it's a good
That's
thing.
Very, very true. And so anyone listening to this, if you want to come pick a fight with Adam, we'd love to have you on the show. Just
bring it on.
Just reach out to us. Katie, we're going to put a link in the show notes to your new study, to the Global Compass stuff. So that'll be there on both YouTube and wherever you listen to podcasts. So go click on that, or you can follow MMGY on social media to get that new report. But if they want to reach out to you, Katie, where can they do that?
Yeah, just shoot me an email, kbriscoe@ mmgyglobal.com. And of course, I'm easily found in LinkedIn, and love to have a conversation or ask any questions, or if you disagree with me broadly, I always enjoy banter. We only get smarter through smart people challenging us. And I think if we didn't, we'd all be so bored. So yeah, reach out.
Right. Well, thank you for being on the show, and please apologize to your entire team for all the times that I challenged them probably a little too aggressively, but
no, 90,
I mean it in love. And you
we're
know,
gonna go dance to the Stu's News jingle. I'm on my way.
Oh, that's awesome. That's awesome. Adam, one time for Christmas, they did a what was it? I forget what. Oh, it was the thing you were at, the award thing, where they did a video, and it was like, hey, raise your hand if you've ever changed Stuart's mind on anything. And one person put their hand up, and they're like, no, you didn't. And they put it down. It's very fun.
I got a kick out of that one.
Yeah. Adam, if they want to find you, where can they do that?
Adam@thebrandrevolt.com, or find me on Tourism IQ.
And I'll try to remember your brand name next time. So
thank you. You know, if we're going to keep doing this show, you ought to give it a shot.
I barely remember your actual name, let alone your company name. So forgive me. If you want to reach out to me, stuart.butler@visitmeltabeach.com, or you can hit me up on LinkedIn. And thank you for listening and watching this show. We really appreciate the support. And reach out to us if you do have a topic you want to talk about. This is a show for the industry. Hopefully, we're all going to get better tomorrow than we were today, you know, one episode at a time. And we really enjoy it. I love the spa. This has probably been the feistiest episode. And this is the vision that we had when we started this show. We wanted it to be a little bit feisty. That's more fun. So until next time, everyone, you've been listening to Destination Discourse.
There's been a little too much kumbaya lately.